The American Heart Association wants to make emergency CPR simpler so more lives might be saved. CPR, or cardiopulmonary resuscitation, involves a combination of chest compressions and mouth-to-mouth breathing. The recommended rhythm used to be 15 chest compressions, then 2 rescue breaths, then 15 more compressions, and so on. The new guidelines put more emphasis on chest compression and less on breathing. Dr. Bob O'Connor is vice chair of the Heart Association's Emergency Cardiac Care Committee.
We're now saying that the ratio should be 30 to 2, that is 30 chest compressions for every 2 ventilations. In essence, we're trying to minimize the amount of hands-off time during the duty cycle of CPR.
Let me make sure I understand that. When you say you want to minimize hands-off time, you really want the compressions to be fairly steady, not to be interrupted?
That's correct.
And why is that?
Because it maintains the optimal flow of blood if it's done over a period of about 30 compressions.
Do these new guidelines apply whether or not someone is trained in CPR?
Ideally, someone who's not trained in CPR would be able to, with some instruction, whether it be from a 911 dispatcher or someone else at the scene, should be able to perform the chest compressions, although we do recommend that everyone take a CPR class to learn how to do proper chest compressions. But part of the goal is to remove any barriers or stigma from someone doing CPR, such as having to perform mouth-to-mouth ventilation.
And do you find that there are people who have an aversion to mouth-to-mouth and that keeps them from performing CPR when they might do it otherwise?
Yeah, anytime the public has been surveyed, that's one of the major barriers to performing CPR. The other one, interestingly enough, is the fear of causing harm to a victim of cardiac arrest.
Is there some risk to performing CPR, maybe incorrectly, if you don't know how to do it, or pressing too strongly on someone?
In theory, there's some risk to improper performance of CPR, but it's very unlikely. It's very difficult to actually cause harm to a victim in cardiac arrest. I'd like to really dispel that notion. Probably the most harmful thing that could be done is standing by doing nothing. At worst, if you do cause injury from CPR, the patient may have a broken rib or two, but if they regain pulses and consciousness and go on to resume a normal life, that's of minimal consequence.
And what is the right technique for chest compressions?
Well, the proper technique is to take both of your hands, put the heel of one hand onto the sternum, push hard, push fast. You want to compress the chest at the rate of about 100 per minute. While you're compressing, you want to allow the chest to recoil. What that requires is complete release of the sternum. And you want to try to limit the interruptions to chest compressions that we already talked about.
And then again, if you're not comfortable with mouth-to-mouth, just compressions nonstop?
That's correct. It's adequate for the first couple of minutes of CPR. What's lacking is any adequate blood flow. So the thinking behind the guidelines is that when a victim collapses, we have between 2 and 4 or 5 minutes when ventilations aren't that necessary. What's really necessary is to deliver chest compressions. After the first few minutes, then ventilations become very important. Hopefully by that time, advanced skilled help has arrived in the form of EMTs or someone with a defibrillator or someone else that arrives with an organized response.
But if it hasn't arrived, then mouth-to-mouth would be required.
That's correct. Mouth-to-mouth would be required after the first few minutes.
Dr. O'Connor, thanks very much.
Okay, thank you very much.
Dr. Bob O'Connor, vice chair of the American Heart Association's Emergency Cardiac Care Committee, talking about their new guidelines for CPR.